You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Saturday, September 4th, I believe. And this is a bonus mailbag show, and it features the return of the prodigal son, Ryan Wilson's prodigal son, Andy Dalton's number one fan, the hippie who moved to Boulder, got fired from this podcast for ranking Doug Peterson too low in the coaches list, the one, the only, Sean Wagner McGuff, joining us for a little check-in. What's up, Sean?
If I did, in fact, get fired, I would like my severance check, first of all.
You're an at-will employee. You got fired. You got nothing.
How you guys doing?
What's up? Ryan Wilson and John Breach also here, of course.
Sean, have Eagles fans apologized to you about your ranking of Doug Peterson yet?
No. Well, ironically, it turns out I ranked him too high on the list. So I don't even think I can get credit from anyone.
Coming out swinging. Devo didn't apologize to you when he brought you on the show?
I think bringing me on the show was his apology. I have no beef with Devo. My beef is with you guys.
Do you think Doug Peterson would be out of a job 6 months after you?
No.
Yeah.
Like Doug Peterson, I stepped away. I was not fired.
Maybe you could be Doug Peterson's lawyer.
Before we move on to matters of two things I want to point out. Breach has a mason jar full of pee that he's drinking. Which you can see on youtube.com/picksix if you want to see it grow.
That's a hell of a sale.
And two, you weren't actually fired for the Doug Peterson thing. We should point out that's not true. You were fired because you ranked Aaron Rodgers outside the top 10 quarterbacks. Oh! Any thoughts on that?
Well, no.
Wow.
I mean, it was a very hopeful ranking at the time as a Bears fan, and that came back to bite me in the butt a bit. So
that was. Although I will give you credit, you got out before it became a massive cold take.
Ironically, I will still get people every once in a while, like tagging me, like randomly or like retweeting the tweet or the story. And I have to, I don't respond, but that's the nice thing about being out of it is I don't care anymore. I need the Jay Cutler meme.
Yeah, I thought you were bad on Twitter when you actually worked covering the NFL. You're much worse on Twitter now.
That is true.
I barely tweet anymore.
I muted Sean 3 years ago, so I wouldn't know.
It's all emo music tweets. That's all Sean's about now on Twitter.
All right, so let's get a check-in on your life. It looks like it's a beautiful Colorado day there. What kind of hat are you wearing?
Seahawks. I mean, the Mariners, right?
Mariners hat.
Wow, your vision is really going, Ryan.
Well, your internet kind of crapped out for a second there. What kind of hat is it? It looks like a hippie dolphin hat. A Costa Del Mar? What is it?
Yeah, it's a Costa Del Mar hat. You know they partnered with a research company. This is so boring. I don't know why you're asking me this. It's like the people who do the shark tracking. Like they tag great white sharks.
Oh, cool.
That's cool. So you're doing environmental law and you're out there. Last we talked to you, you had a roommate that you were living with. Who are you living with now?
You really need to like find any way to insert my love life into the podcast.
People want to know what's happening to your life.
You found a girlfriend while you're on the podcast, so maybe people just want to update.
Well,
is it the same girlfriend?
It is the same girlfriend.
Okay,
who was staying with me during quarantine.
Correct. Sean. You never in the middle of a pandemic. You know, not everything came out of this pandemic was bad, Sean. You stumbled. You humble gym bragged your way into love.
That's right.
Sean, we're old dudes. We just want to know when the wedding is so we can come and have a few drinks on your dime.
You guys think you're being invited to the wedding?
No,
I don't care about the wedding. I just want to invite you to the bachelor party.
I'm crashing it with a 16-month-old baby, and she's going to cry the whole time.
The Breach, you're not getting any plus ones.
I got a question.
You can bring Brinson as your plus one since Brinson won't be getting an invite.
Sean, do your parents know that you're living in sin?
Ooh.
Yes.
And they're okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
They're just proud he's dating somebody.
Oh my God. What about you, Ryan? You're my internet dad. Are you proud of me?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I actually live with my the girlfriend who dumped me out of college. I live with her. My parents were not happy about that. Then I live with my current wife. My current wife. My
current.
That's a good one. I lived with my wife, my next girlfriend after that, also lived in sin. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's fine. As long as you're doing, as long as you're not, you know, out there robbing people or murdering people like Breach, I think it's fine who you live with if you like
each other. It's a pretty drastic move from living with a woman to murdering people. It's a pretty big.
Well, that's why Breach can't keep a roommate. He killed them all.
True.
That's the.
We haven't seen Breach's family in a while.
Do our families regularly come on? Is there a family episode of the podcast each week that I don't know about? Where you guys have your families?
My son came on the podcast like 2 days ago.
Oh, well, if you were friends with me on Facebook, Brinson, you would see the baby pictures all the time.
I don't log on Facebook. Sean posts about his grades too much.
I literally
don't think I've posted on Facebook in like 2 years.
All right, so how are you doing in school? I think people want to know.
I'm doing well, Brinson. Thanks for asking.
I love it.
You're trying to goad me into doing a brag so you can call me out for it. I'm not going to do that.
I'm not calling you out for it. We're asking how you're doing, and we're proud of you, man.
Did you do well in undergrad?
Not particularly.
Okay,
I did fine. I did well until I decided I wanted to be a journalist because I was like writing about sports as my life's calling, and no one's going to care about my undergrad grades, so I stopped caring about that.
So you matured. You realized that if you're going back to school and your dad's paying for it, you might as well pay attention and try to do well. I like that.
Yeah, well, you see, in law school they call on you, so if you're not prepared, you get embarrassed. It's like getting dunked on without the music.
How soon into one of your co-students' answers do you realize that they are clearly not prepared to answer the question? Like, how often does that happen?
It doesn't happen as often as you would think.
Is it cringeworthy in person to have to endure?
Or are you secretly like, ha, 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 another one that'll fall behind me?
Or does it depend on the professor like being like hardcore or a softie?
Most of the professors that I've had here are pretty soft. Like, they don't. You're not getting embarrassed if you don't know.
Clip and save, Debo.
All right. Well, glad you're doing well.
It's not like Brinson is teaching the class. It's like if you were teaching the class. Like,
if Brinson were teaching the class, he would never show up and he would be wholly unprepared. So
I'd fly in late and call people for like outrageous questions they couldn't answer and then lash on them for not answering.
And also, my first year was like entirely remote, which was a lot. I feel like I was actually better prepared than most people because I had worked for 5 years remote.
Oh,
now we're back in person though.
Okay. And you were tweeting about this. You're worried about the back in person stuff. Is that true? Or is it that you do better remote and you want to be able to just pile in your house?
I'm not going to lie. I do enjoy the extra sleep of working remotely.
Were you hoping that your verified Twitter account somehow still verified? That we should actually alert Twitter to that. They need to at unverified.
Alan Page, Vikings Hall of Famer, can't even get verified. And Sean's here. I was
100% sure I was going to lose it because to get verified, I had to switch my email on Twitter to the CBS email. And obviously when I quit, I changed it to my Gmail because I don't have access to that email anymore.
I think they don't care about email. I think if you change your Twitter username,
change your handle. That's how you lose it.
So don't change it to Lawman Sean.
Do you call yourself Lawman Sean?
Then you'll be banned from Twitter if you do that.
Wait,
that's what my friends call me here.
Wait, what?
No, I'm kidding. I don't have friends here.
Lawman Sean. He's upset that he let slip the Lawman Sean part because he knows we're going to run that into the ground.
Have you found bowl? Like, are you going to live in Colorado when you're done?
Depends on jobs. I'm open to it, but I'm also
you're hoping to get a job in the field of law after this.
No, I'm gonna come back to the podcast so I can talk about the next CBA negotiation.
What if you end up getting a job in sports law and then you get hired by CBS to be like the sports law pundit, and then you're back on this podcast in 3 years? Would that be hilarious?
Yes.
I think that might be a waste of 3 years of my life here, but
yeah, your dad would certainly agree with that. All right, what's the first question? That's enough chit chat.
We gotta ask Sean about the Bears. So Andy Dalton, we brought you back on when Andy Dalton signed with the Bears.
I was on your like free agency palooza show, whatever.
It was you were on for the emergency Andy Dalton.
Was there an emergency Andy Dalton podcast?
There better not have been.
Sean,
guys, your standards are slipping.
I asked for it. I demanded it.
Yes, I was on for that, and I was not pleased at the time. My enthusiasm level for the Bears has increased since then, not for this year, but for the long term, because of Justin Fields, obviously.
Is that the only reason? Is there anything to be excited about?
Well, does it concern you that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are the ones who will be, like, if Justin Fields is good and the Bears win games this year, they will probably get extensions?
I don't know if I have an opinion about Matt Nagy yet. And okay. I know it's been, what, 3 years? Yeah. But
playoff twice.
I mean, at the one hand, you can say, well, he went to the playoffs without a quarterback. But the other hand, I think you can probably say his play calling didn't really help Trubisky and Foles.
Also
Foles
completely failed to develop Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, I mean, that's a large ask if we're being honest.
I just think it's always hard to separate the player from development and to know who's
he took the job when Trubisky played.
I think he's a good, like, I hate this phrase, like CEO type of coach. Like, I think in each of the last 2 years, there have been times when, if say Mark Trestman, and I know that's a low bar to compare to, but like that locker room could have been completely lost, and they've managed to stay competitive throughout all that. I don't know if he's a good play caller or like offensive designer, which is what the Bears thought they were getting when they hired him from the Chiefs. But I think he's a good, like, I don't want to use this comparison because he's not as good as Mike Tomlin, but like just a good CEO type of figure. But I think it's largely dependent on getting a good offensive coordinator and having Fields work out. But like, I think the biggest concern with Fields is probably not the coaching, but the offensive line and not wanting him to get killed in year one.
I don't disagree with the offensive line. I mean,
are you okay with the fact that Andy Dalton will be starting in week one?
I would prefer for Fields to start. I'm not
against the Rams, but in Los Angeles
in prime time.
I mean, yes. I mean, I would want Fields to start. I mean, You can't draft a guy and be like, we're afraid of Aaron Donald, so therefore he can't play this week. Like, you're going to face good pass rushers every single week. And
well, I don't think it's a matter of being afraid of Aaron Donald. It's if Matt Nagy thinks Justin Fields is only like 85% comfortable with the playbook, you don't want 85% going against Aaron Donald.
Don't play him.
That's you know, like I just think Matt Nagy is not doesn't think Justin Na- or doesn't think Justin Fields is 100% there. Like ready to play. I think he's at like 90, 95, and he'll play.
I mean, my 100. Point of view of wanting him to play is entirely selfish as a fan of wanting to be excited for that week one game. And you cannot get me excited to watch Andy Dalton against that Rams team.
I disagree. I think with that Bears offensive line, I'm excited to see if Andy Dalton lives. Like if he makes it through the game alive. That's
is that a Sunday night or a Monday night game?
Sunday night.
Would we have to have an emergency podcast if Andy Dalton died the second quarter?
I thought you said he beats the Rams.
I was going to say if he beats the Rams, what?
If he beats the Rams,
are you Sean, will you buy an Andy Bengals. Dalton jersey? Will you buy an Andy Dalton Bears jersey if he
Breach,
beats the Rams?
You could
I'll
buy
pay for half
Andy,
of it. I'll
Breach,
pay for
you
half
could
of
buy
it.
The entire Andy Dalton jersey and I wouldn't wear it.
What?
There's, but the law school is right next to a Goodwill, though, so I would drop it off on my way.
Breach, so, don't you still owe Sean for a Jay yes. Cutler bet?
Well, yeah, I need to get on a date with Jay Cutler because that's what he's doing out in Nashville right now.
Well, so he's Sean, got a podcast.
That's the only way to contact him, Brenton. He's only going on dates.
Breach, you're married. That's inappropriate.
So listen, the
but I do owe Sean a Jay
okay,
Cutler autograph.
We got it. So okay. The line is for all week right. One, September 12th, 8:20 p.m. start. Bears getting 7.5 in L.A. I love the Rams in that game.
I like the Bears to cover.
I like the idea of teasing the Buccaneers or the 49ers with the Rams and getting it down like 1.5.
First of all, I mean, I don't know how closely Sean.
Yeah, I like that
football,
too.
But like the Bears secondary is a huge issue as well.
Yeah.
So Matthew Stafford comes out spinning it, as they say. And that
Hall
defense.
Famer.
Yeah.
But we don't know. You know, Matthew Stafford didn't play in the preseason the last 2 years. That Sean McVay has sat all his starters in the preseason. The Rams are favored in week one, and they won both games by just 3 points.
How many times in those week one games did they face Andy Dalton in primetime?
I mean, would you?
I was hesitating about the 7.5, and then I realized it's primetime and Andy Dalton. So.
He's going to throw 4 interceptions, Breach.
Here's the real question.
Well, I was going to.
Does Fields play in that game?
I bet there are some packages. I bet they bring him in for some packages or something.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't feel unless
what if don't get four picks in the first half.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Then you break him in.
Yeah. 28 and a half time, maybe. Yeah.
I wouldn't even want to do that though, because I think if you're gonna start him or play him, like you give him the full week and it doesn't help to throw him to the wolves. I think you just use that as hey everyone, this is why Andy Dalton's not starting next week against the Bengals. He sucks.
Also, if you bring Fields in the second half of it and they're down 28-0, he's probably going to put up some decent stats and some points. Like, you know, it'll be like 28 or 35-21, and people will be like, oh, if we'd started Fields, we might have won the game. It was amazing.
But the downside of that is, like, the Rams defense is going to be teeing off on Fields because I know they're just going to throw the ball. So that's true, something else. True.
My prediction is that the Bears get slaughtered, and unfortunately for Breach, Fields plays week two against the Bengals.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, Breach, would you rather face Andy Dalton or Justin Fields in week two if you're the Bengals?
Justin Fields.
You're set up.
You know, with Andy Dalton, you're playing a bad quarterback.
If Andy Dalton's playing week one, I want Justin Fields' first game ever. I would rather see, much rather see him.
Andy Dalton, 1 o'clock revenge game.
With the Bengals stunk back in like 24. I think Johnny Manziel's first game ever was against the Bengals, and everybody was pounding the Browns because they thought Johnny was going to. Brinson's making that face like everyone didn't think that. The Browns' point spread moved like 2 or 3 points. And
I'm laughing at this comparison. You're like, Johnny Manziel.
No. I'm just saying that when a rookie quarterback is making a first start, if people love the quarterback like they do with Justin Fields, they're automatically, as somebody who would want the Bengals to win that game, I would prefer to see Justin Fields making it for his first start.
Well, here's the
rather thing. Than Marino eats rookie quarterbacks for breakfast, bro.
I'm just saying.
Freak, go ahead, Andy Dalton sucks.
Yes.
Maybe Justin Fields sucks.
Say it out loud. Say it out loud, Breach. I'll tell you what. If you say Andy Dalton sucks right now, we will waive the Jay Cutler bet. And Sean, I assume Sean will agree to that.
No, he acted like he froze. Look at that. He acted like he froze.
You won't waive the Jay Cutler bet if Breach says Andy Dalton sucks right now?
He's frozen. He can't hear us.
Wait, is he actually frozen?
No, he's just
being that weird, is though. That was a really impressive.
That's some serial killer stuff right there.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's a YouTube must watch.
Yeah, that's right.
Was I actually frozen?
When you hear someone jiggle the door in the house he's broken into, he does the old Breach freeze, and they walk right by.
All right. Any more life updates, Sean? Or what?
I can't believe we're diving into the first question of the mailbag.
Well, we always get another question.
No, I know, but that...
I should have phrased it as like, will the Bears suck? JC from Chicago. JC,
how about this, John? Who wins more games, the Bears or the Bengals? And Breach has them little, I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. Breach has them both going 7-10 this year.
I don't know. I haven't read Breach's Travel Miles article. I haven't read Breach's Strength of Schedule article.
The Bengals have the fewest travel miles.
There it is.
The Bengals also have the fewest wins like over the last three.
Yeah, before we recorded this, Breach bragged that the Bengals won 4 games last year without their quarterback. So I'm going to go with the Bears.
Yeah, I think
they're both going to be in like the 5-8 range.
But out of 1-10, like what's your confidence on? How much would you bet? What would you bet on that?
I think the odds are
a friendly bet.
Brinson, what are the odds? Like -120?
Bears? I would be Bears -145.
See, yeah, I just wouldn't bet that.
Really?
I'm not that confident.
Holy crap.
Well, if Burrow breaks out.
Oh, please.
Thank you.
He walks with a cane. How's he going to break out?
Is he still hurt?
He played 3 snaps all preseason because he admitted that mentally he's not sure if he's all there yet.
Oh, so well, let's put it this way.
The Bengals are 12-1 to have the worst regular season record in the NFL. The Texans +250. The Lions, this is at Caesars, of course. So the Lions +350, the Jets +750, and then Bengals at 12-1. So the fourth biggest favorite to have the worst record.
The Texans don't have the best odds to finish.
No, they're +250.
Okay.
Yeah, so like 2.5-1. And then the Bears are 25-1 to have the worst record in football.
Yeah, there you go.
The Bears aren't going to have the worst record in football.
I'm just saying that like that's a good comparison.
It's not as close as you're making it out to be, I think is the point.
Yeah, it was 2-1.
Well, according to our people at Caesars, the Bears have an over-under of 7.5, and the Bengals have an over-under of 6.5. So it's actually pretty close.
What's the juice on those?
The Bears over 7.5 is +105. Ooh.
And the Bengals over is +500.
It's +5 million. Yeah. Hey, Brinson, let me ask you this. So if the Bengals played 17 home games and they're over under still 6.5, what are you taking?
The Bengals over is -105.
Yeah, okay.
It's a fairly close. I think the Bengals have an easier schedule, right?
So 17 home games, all at Paul Brown Stadium, the over under still 6.5.
I am actually on the Bengals over this year. I think that they win 7 games.
There's okay, no
well, then
way
that means it's a lock for the Bears to finish above them.
What?
Yes.
Brinson's on the Bengals bandwagon.
No, are you on the Bears over or under?
Yeah, Brinson, over 7.5.
I'm going the Bears under.
Over. I mean, 8-9 isn't like a great season.
I don't know. I think this offensive line is an issue. I think Andy Dalton, who I pushed all my cards, all my chips to the middle of the table last year with him and the Cowboys to win 9 games. And that fewer things have blown up in my face like
Hey,
that.
Hey, Ryan, don't forget about the center who knew the lingo. He knew the offense.
I mean, who finishes with the best record might hinge on week 2 when they play each other.
I forgot about that, Sean. I was just to give you a courtesy laugh, and then I figured out what you said. Yeah, that's right. The lingo. You dummy.
Didn't he not even win the starting center job, too?
I don't even. It doesn't matter. It's just like who says that?
Was that Breach or me?
That was
Breach. His whole offseason was the center of the offense.
I love that Bristol wasn't sure.
So the
Bengals are sure Andy Dalton had the best record of any starting quarterback in the NFC East last year. Just saying.
Great. He's now in the NFC North because he was so good.
What is the Bengals record after they play the Vikings at home, the Bears on the road, the Steelers on the road, and the Jaguars at home?
One win.
That feels like one win. They could be two. The Steelers, as we all know, if they bring back Ryan Finley, but one win feels about right. Breach, what do you think?
Two. I think 2-2.
There we go.
That's
who are they beating? The Jags and the Bears.
Jacksonville and one of the Vikings, Bears, or Steelers. I mean, Wilson's not going to sit here and promise another tattoo if the Bengals beat the Steelers, so he knows it's possible. They're playing a rookie quarterback or Andy Dalton in week 2, certainly winnable. And Kirk Cousins might not be on the field because he could be out because of COVID protocols by week 1.
All right, okay. We'll give Breach 2-2 there as a very aggressive favor. The next 5 games are Green Bay at home, at Detroit, at Baltimore, at the Jets, and home versus the Browns. What is their record? 2 of those.
Yep.
4-5.
4-5.
Very optimistic.
That
4-5.
Seems generous.
Yeah, that's right. They're 3.5 wins right now, if we're being honest. But 4-5, okay.
So everything breaks right. The Bengals are 4-5 going into their week 10 bye. Coming out there, the next 4 games are at Vegas, versus the Steelers at home, versus the Chargers at home, versus the 49ers at home.
0.
Sure.
I think they beat the Chargers in Cincinnati. Yeah, it's your West Coast team flying to the East Coast for a 10 a.m. kickoff.
I think we can give them one of those because it's 3 straight home games.
The Raiders game is on the road.
Yes.
Raiders game is on the road.
I think they can beat the Raiders on the road or beat one of the Chargers or Steelers at home.
Okay. I mean, again, that's optimistic. Go ahead. We'll give it to them. Sure.
So we are through 14 weeks of the season, 13 games, and we are 5-8, correct?
You got to win 2 more games.
I don't want to say
that's where we are, and that is a highly optimistic approach to the Bengals season. Their final 4 games. At Denver, versus the Ravens, versus the Chiefs, at Cleveland.
I'm not giving them one.
I definitely give them 1, maybe 2. I think they can beat the Browns.
You don't think they can beat Denver?
They played the Browns twice last year and should have won both those games. Baker Mayfield threw an improbable touchdown pass with like 12 seconds left to win one of them.
I love when Breach's evidence of the Bengals could beat a team is that they lost to them last year.
Well, no, I'm saying that a fan who does not follow the Bengals.
Missed. He missed. Oh, and he may have pulled a hamstring or a muscle, and there was complete elation.
Forget law school. I think Sean went to comedy college. He's been talking all over Breach.
There we go. 2-2.
So if we give them 1, that is 6-11.
And if you give them 2, it's 7-10. Boom.
Why don't they go 4-0 over that stretch? And that way they can make the playoffs. Why don't you just do that?
Well, maybe the Chiefs will be resting all their starters.
I made in week 17 instead of week 18. Let me change my mind and go back to the under on the Bengals. I don't feel like this.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would take the Chiefs without Mahomes against the Bengals.
Yeah, they beat the Browns in the playoffs without Mahomes. A Browns team, by the way, that could have lost to the Bengals had the Bengals scored
twice.
More points. Twice.
We could have beaten the Browns, the Steelers, and the Ravens twice last year if we'd scored more points than them.
Just you guys laugh. I'm saving this podcast for when they finish 7-10.
All right.
And then we're going to listen to us go through the schedule, and you're going to feel like fools.
Looking forward.
Bears' schedule is kind of the opposite. I mean, they're at LA, Cincinnati,
loss.
Well, stop it. I mean, there's their first four games. We're going through in quadrants. At LA, Cincinnati, at Cleveland, home against Detroit. Yes, 2-2.
You right? got it. You have to go 2-2 no matter what.
Yes. Next five games going into their week 10 bye at Vegas versus Green Bay, at Tampa Bay, versus San Francisco, and at Pittsburgh.
One.
Yes. All right. So we got,
we all agree.
3-6 for the Bears going into their bye.
The Bears under, by the way. Tampa Bay last year. Just putting that out there.
If they score more points, absolutely. All right, go ahead.
Oh, they did beat them last year. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, you're bringing up last year?
That's they funny. Actually won.
Well, it's a win breach. Breach. As evidence that they could beat the team again.
All right, coming out of the bye in week 11, Baltimore
way,
home.
Hold on, Brits, by the way. Breach would be a terrible lawyer. Okay.
What?
Can we just rank the people here who
you can't like, choose when to use last year's
Your Honor, my client nearly didn't murder that man. He almost didn't kill him. Had he not jammed that knife in his face, he would not have killed him. I submit to you, Your Honor.
What are you doing? Oh, gosh. All right, what's the next?
Mr. Breach, you're holding a cat. Please get out of the courtroom.
Meow. Right.
So we're 3-6 going into the bye, coming out. Baltimore at home, at Detroit, Arizona at home, at Green Bay.
I'll give him two.
I'll give him two.
Okay. What are the two you guys are?
Arizona at home.
And Detroit.
Are we down on Arizona?
I'm not crazy about Cliff Kingsbury.
And it's an indoor team playing in December in Chicago. It's going to be cold. I could see them pulling off that upset.
Right. I mean, I'll take two.
Two is generous, but we were generous with Breach too. So we are now 5-8 going to the final stretch. Minnesota at home, at Seattle, New York at home, at Minnesota.
New York Jets?
The Giants.
I don't know why it matters.
If we're being generous, I think it could be three.
Who are the three? Giants.
But if you're giving them three, you only gave them one the last time. And if me and Ryan are given two and two,
that's fine.
We're at four.
I think split with the Vikings. Although they have dominated the Vikings, I think split with the Vikings is probably fair.
Yeah,
split with the Vikings, beat the Giants.
Hey, wait, what are you talking about? Breach a second ago is like Kirk Cousins is going to have COVID. He's not going to be able to play. I can't use that argument here.
Wait, this is the end of the season. By now, Mike Zimmer has traded Kirk Cousins to any other team that will take him and brought in Cam Newton. That's where we are with the Vikings at this point, Sean.
Cam Newton also on
that.
That's the joke.
By the way, the judge is like,
Reese is like Greg Paulus right now, just catching teabags left and right with dunk.
The judge was like, I was going to give your client 10 years, but because you won't stop talking, I'm getting consecutive life sentences.
Mr. Breach, your client is here for a traffic citation.
He will be executed.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. He's like, Mr. Breach, there's no jury here. Our wins over Wilson projection here has the Bears going 7-10 and the Bengals going 6-11. So right all under. Over Vegas, by the way.
One game difference.
But both under. Right?
That is true. Both under.
I might like this Bears under a lot.
It's funny, though, because like no one should care about a Bears-Bengals week two game, but that actually game could probably decide who actually finishes with more wins.
No, for sure. All right, Sean, we got to take a break. Are you going to stick around or are you going to go?
No, I got to get a haircut.
Good luck.
I'm going to a wedding this weekend.
So. That is a classic excuse when someone doesn't want to hang out with Brenton. Let me tell you that.
Is he going to his
wedding?
Well, Brenton
wedding? Understands of all people. Wait, no, I'm not getting implants, so he does not understand.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, we missed!
All right, my only request before you go on break, can I come on this podcast when the Bears beat the Bengals in week two?
Sunday night? Only if you also agree to come on. When the Bengals beat the Bears,
I have lots of reading to do, Breach. I'm gonna be busy.
You will be on this podcast that Sunday night after the game.
All right, fine.
Or to preview the game, you have to come on either way. You can't come on if they win or lose.
I don't want to preview the game.
Okay, yeah, you have to come on either way. You got
to
agree.
That means I have to watch the Bengals in week one. I'm not.
Well, if Andy Dalton beats the Bengals, I'll be glad to talk about it.
Oh, you're 2 hours behind us, so it'll be 11 o'clock your time. So
great. So my neighbors will learn to love me that Sunday.
What do you townhouse there? A condo? What you got?
An apartment.
Okay.
But
no, his parents live above him. His parents live above him. They'll be fine.
My parents hate loud noises at night. They would probably.
They're my age.
Me.
Of course they do.
All right,
Sean. Go get your haircut.
Great
seeing you, man.
Everybody. We will See you soon.
See you week two.
We want you to keep climbing those charts, buddy. You can get in that top 50% of that law school.
Think about writing a recommendation letter for Breach when he goes to law school.
All right. See you guys.
All right. See you, buddy. All right. We'll take a break. And when we come back, mailbag.
Oh, sorry. Mailbag.
There we go. Thank you.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, time for the
mailbag.
Thank you. This is ridiculous. Cheetos underscore Jesus via Apple Podcast says, mailbag. Hey, Benson, what is the texture of the hair plugs you got and what's the average cost? Great pod. Continue the work.
You leave a 5-star review, we literally will answer any question.
It's true.
I love it. Love it. Great question, Cheeto Jesus. So
credit to Wilson for spreading the lie that I have hair plugs.
I'm going to Google how much the hair plugs cost, and I'm going to a whole bunch of stuff like all over my Instagram and everything about hair plugs. And my wife's like,
you can see on YouTube, these are all natural.
We will shave Brenton's head live on this podcast just so we can prove it's not hair plugs. That's the only way we'll believe you, Brenton.
I mean, that's the one thing I won't do is shave my head for a bet.
Like, so you do have hair plugs.
So when you Google how much the hair plugs cost, there's one of the early ads that come up says payments starting at $50 a month for affordable hair transplants.
Well, he won $80,000, so that's a lot of money.
I've had my hair the entire time you've known me.
Oh, here we go. The price of hair transplants, I don't know that. Will depend largely on the amount of hair you're moving. That strikes me as funny for some reason.
Wait, how does that work? Do you get hair from like somewhere? Like, are you getting hair from like...
back, I don't know, your butt. I don't know. I have no idea. But generally, it ranges from $4,000 to $15,000. Breach, this man won $80,000. Look at that luscious head of hair he has. There's no doubt in my mind.
Wait, why would so if you're so if our hair is it transferred? Like, I feel like you would know if I had back hair or like butt hair on my head.
I do know, like, I don't know if you guys remember this, like, when you were younger, you could see like when a guy got hair transplants, it almost looked like cornrows, you know. Not like cornrows to braids, but like corn stalks on someone's head, like going across, like where they put the hair in there. And it was quite obvious. And now I think it's gotten a lot better. But I don't know a lot about where the hair comes from. It must be your hair. I mean, would other people's hair grow on your head? Because the hair grows, I believe.
I have no idea. I've never looked at anything relating to this.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. So in one system, the surgeon removes 6 to 10 inch strip of skin from the back of your head. They set it aside and sew the scalp closed. And this area is immediately hidden by the hair around it.
Wait. They cut your head open and then...
No, I think they just... Well, maybe.
I'll pass on hair plugs ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that alone proves that I don't have hair plugs. Like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah. So I guess they use your own hair. So they must take a strip of your hair off, squeeze your scalp together, sew it back together, and the hair is already there, covers it up in the back of your head.
Nah.
Then the surgeon divides the strip of removed scalp into 500 to 2,000 tiny grafts, each with an individual hair or just a few hairs. How much time does that take? How much is that person getting paid to individually break out the hairs?
Wait. So then the hair would have to grow out all over the place, right?
I think they graft it into little 5 to 2,000 tiny grafts, and then they put that into your bald spots, as you know, And then that grows once they put it back into your brain.
So you would have to see the hair. It would be obvious that you got hair transplants for quite a while.
I think that's how it was.
Yeah, you just wouldn't go out in public. Like getting hair transplants during a pandemic would exactly. be the perfect time to do it.
Counterpoint. I think like 20 years ago, I'm on video with you guys every day.
You can't see the back of your head. And he's worn a hat for like six, 4 months.
Oh, yeah, from the back of your head and put it on the top?
And this is called Photoshop. Like Debo does a lot of things in post-production.
That's not Photoshop. Photoshop is when you edit images.
Okay, well, post-production.
Oh,
you're
my
just
gosh.
Playing out buzzwords and hoping it works. So, all right, let's move on. We're 33 minutes. You want to keep going on this?
One more thing, because I know this
Wilson's
is...
Wilson's usually the one trying to get to the next question.
This is confirming my suspicions, because there was a time where he was wearing hats a lot. Within 2 to 3 weeks, according to WebMD... Within 2 to 3 weeks after surgery, the transplanted hair will fall out. Imagine your horror, Brinson, when your hair fell out. He's like, oh, I have all this new hair, and then you look like me. But you should start to notice new growth within a few months. That's the hat. That's why you wear the hat.
No, I wear the
hat. Answers a lot of questions. Hour.
What's that?
I wear the hat because I don't shower.
I thought you said you wore the hat in the shower to protect the bald hair. I get it. Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you for the question, Cheeto Jesus. That was fantastic. We all learned something about hair plugs. $4,000 to $15,000 Brinson paid for those hair plugs.
This is what you want on a Saturday morning is hair plug podcast.
After 30 minutes with Sean. Dasher 56562 asks, your podcast helps me get ready in the morning. Question. I am 16 years old. Who is the most underrated NFL player of all time, and who is the most overrated player of all time?
My overrated player is going to be Brinson, my breeches underrated player. I can go ahead and call that.
Andy Dalton?
Yes.
I honestly would throw out Philip Rivers as an all-time underrated player.
I overlooked the most obvious one. No, he's not. Shut up with that. He's not underrated.
Here are other candidates. So I was trying to find guys who are top at their position, but not in the Hall of Fame, obviously. Carson Palmer, Tony Romo, Anquan Boldin, Torrey Holt is a legitimate one. I said Prisco would throw out Fred Taylor and Tony Boselli, and they're actually probably pretty good picks there. Fred Taylor is, if you go down running backs, Fred Taylor is the first guy you get to on the all-time rushing yards leaders who isn't in the Hall of Fame.
No, I think Fred Taylor's a good example of an underrated
player. He
might
be the most underrated player of all time.
Actually, the first person you get to is Frank Gore. But he hasn't.
I miss Frank Gore. That was it.
Maybe because you were looking at only retired players.
I don't think Frank Gore is even underrated. Do we think?
I don't think Frank Gore is underrated.
But he's still playing. So.
Yeah. No. I was wrong. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Frank Gore. But I don't think he's underrated.
You know what's funny is you mentioning Taylor and Boselli is that I feel like really anyone from the early Jacksonville years you could name because an expansion team people just didn't care about them. Jimmy Smith was a receiver.
Jimmy Smith underrated for sure.
He's 24th receiving all time, but I feel like the average NFL fan probably doesn't even know who he is. And you're talking about top 25 career receiving yards, and you mentioned Fred Taylor, obviously.
Mark Brunell, does he count?
Brunell, you could – anybody from early Jacksonville.
Any other nominations for most underrated?
Yeah, what's the guy's name that played with
got to give us something.
Oh, Jason Taylor's the linebacker that played with Jason Taylor.
Oh, Zach Taylor. Zach Thomas.
He's underrated, I think.
I would agree with that.
Zach Taylor is not underrated.
Zach Taylor's overrated. I was on a plane one time with Zach Thomas, and I was flying back from Fort Lauderdale to Raleigh after doing some work down at the CBS offices. And I get on the plane, and I've got my laptop open, and I'm trying to do work. And I'm, you know, when you get the armrest, you try and like, you want to make, you know, You're trying to get command of the armrest. So you got to
make an executive decision. Yeah.
I'm sitting there like working this mofo's arm as hard as I can and it won't move. And I was like, oh my God. And I turned and look. I'm like, oh my God, it's Zach Thomas. I was like, I don't see anything to him. So I'm like, first of all, I'm not messing with this guy's arm anymore. And so I went to work. He's like, hey, you a football writer? Because he saw me like reading stuff on a Sunday or Saturday. Maybe it was on a Friday after the Thursday night game. I was like, yeah, but CBS Sports. He goes, you tell Pete Prisco. That guy's an idiot.
Oh, that sounds about right.
We ended up chatting for a while. His son was visiting at ECU for a possible college football gig. And really, really, really nice guy. That's a great call. He's very underrated.
I've got a couple, and they're all Bengals players. But I'll only say them very quickly. Number one, Ken Riley. cornerback for the Bengals. You mentioned how Fred Taylor, you go down that list, and he's high. Ken Riley has the fifth most interceptions in NFL history, not in the Hall of Fame. I don't know why, because everybody else in the top eight is in the Hall of Fame except for him. And then number two, Ken Anderson, Bengals quarterback, 1981 NFL MVP, led the NFL in passing yards twice, had the highest quarterback rating in the NFL four times, which I think is the most ever of any quarterback, or it's up there, and then was top five in touchdown passes five times. Last one, Corey Dillon. Even though he left and went to the Patriots and won a Super Bowl, he's kind of like the Fred Taylor argument.
That's actually a good answer. Corey Dillon is, I believe, right below Fred Taylor in the rushing yards list.
Yeah, they are right there together. And he also had one of the highest single season games. He ran for like 290 yards. He held the single season or single game rushing record for a while. And so I think Jamal Lewis of the Ravens broke it maybe in like 2000 or the Browns, somebody.
2003, Jamal Lewis ran for over 2,000 yards.
Yeah, Jamal Lewis in 2003 had a 295-yard game, but Dillon set the record with 278 in 2000, and then Lewis broke it, and then Adrian Peterson broke that.
Oh, you know who else? I can't believe I'm going to do this. You might already be planning to do this. Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah?
Is he underrated?
I think so.
I don't know.
I think he's famous. He's very famous, but I think his actual football career is probably underrated.
He was famous when he was playing. And he was because awesome. He was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he's underrated. Like, I would say, TJ Houshmandzadeh was underrated during that time, but he didn't have the longevity of Chad Ochocinco or obviously T.O. when he played with the Bengals.
Yeah. So basically, it sounds like underrated players come from teams that people don't like or that don't have big national followings.
Yeah. No, name a Dallas Cowboys player who's underrated. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, or a Steelers player, right? They're all properly or overrated.
I would say like Hines Ward is underrated, but that's just because
Hines Ward is overrated.
Yeah, there you go, exactly.
Debo, any Eagles you want to throw in here? I know Donovan, we're gonna have your itching to toss up there.
Is Donovan underrated?
Oh, Debo might be doing something else right now.
Freddie Mitchell.
Brinson's talking to himself, asking Debo these questions.
Freddie, is it Fred? Who is it that's running through the okra patch? Is that Freddie Mitchell?
No, that was Fred Smoot.
Fred Smoot, yeah.
Captain Smoot.
Oh, I would say that Dante Culpepper is underrated.
I don't know if he's overrated. I think he's rated just about right.
And maybe he just didn't, yeah. I actually think that this is kind of crazy, but I think you can make a case that Drew Brees is underrated.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Just relative to his peers. He didn't get mentioned with Manning and Brady.
He holds a current record for most passing yards.
I mean, he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm just saying.
If you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, you're not underrated.
Exactly. Okay. That's right.
Fair enough. You can be overrated if you're a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think Emmitt Smith is overrated.
Cold lotion.
Oh, my God. Cowboys Nation is going to hate Brinson. I don't want to be around for that.
That's fine.
Okay, let's go through the list.
Like, I would take Barry Sanders, LT, Marshall Faulk, Jim Brown.
Marshall Faulk, you take over Emmitt?
And Walter Payton over Emmitt Smith.
Okay. That's your prerogative. I don't know if I called Emmitt Smith overrated. I'm going through the list here about overrated.
My guy, Brinson with Emmitt Smith. I'm going with Joe Namath.
That's good.
It is. You take Super Bowl III out, and literally, I'm not even sure what is left of his career. I mean, this is a guy who threw 173 touchdowns back in the day. He threw 47 more interceptions than he did touchdowns in his career.
And what's his career completion percentage? It's not high. You have that in front of you?
It is 50.1.
That's his career completion percentage in the NFL?
Which is not even great for back in the day. He
has barely more passing yards than Ryan Tannehill and Derek Carr.
Yeah, but the errors are different.
He was in the top five in most interceptions thrown five times.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty good. He is handsome, a handsome devil. But
I mean, handsome and the guarantee. That's how
the guarantee is what got him in, right?
Oh yeah.
And the fur coat.
I mean, it's huge. It was one of the biggest upsets in NFL history. So you got to give him that. Sure. But I'm not sure he should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's much more fitting than Brinson pooping all over Emmitt Smith. That's just.
I mean, I'm just saying that Emmitt Smith is probably like the fifth best running back of all time. In fact, I think you could argue that Troy Aikman's probably overrated.
No.
Why not?
Yeah, why? He won three Super Bowls.
I mean, again, it's the Cowboys won three Super Bowls because Jimmy was built this incredible offensive line.
The team was 1-15 his first year.
Yeah, both their first. It's Troy Aikman because of Jimmy Johnson.
Okay. Well, someone had to throw the football. Right.
I mean, Troy Aikman's stats are not that great. He's considered one of the greatest.
Again, he played in the 80s and 90s.
All right. Was it Troy Aikman or Dan Marino?
Oh, Dan Marino. There's Ken Riley. I'm looking at the career average valuation. Is that what it's called on pro?
Eli Manning, overrated too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, I think he's only overrated by Giants fans. Like, I feel like everyone else, including the media, is like, eh, okay, we get it.
Yeah, that's probably
right place, right time. Great guy, but let's be real.
Is Matthew Stafford overrated or underrated?
He's overrated by you, but everyone else, I think, otherwise views him in the proper context.
Okay, that's fair.
I like him. I just don't. I mean, you know, come on.
Don't like him as much as I do.
Yeah.
Wilson, let me ask you this. How many times do you think Troy Aikman finished in the top five in passing yards?
Clearly, the answer is never.
Wrong. The answer is one. How many times do you think he finished in the top five in touchdown passes?
Clearly, the answer is one.
The answer is one.
There you go.
So I agree. I'm not saying that's. I agree with Brenton, but I'm agree.
Not clapping on Troy Aikman.
Out of Aikman, Smith, Aikman would be the more overrated one. If I had to pick one of them.
Yeah. I mean, career 61.5% completion percentage. And yes, different era and all that. You all right, Wilson?
I think something bit me in my foot.
Oh, my. Was it one of those spiders that was in my basement?
I don't know
how it
could have been. I was freaking out.
I think I had a spider in my shoe the other day. It bit me like four times in the leg. It hurt.
How are you alive? Are you Spider-Man?
Yeah, I am.
How slow are you that you can't get a spider off after the third bite?
I didn't realize it until I was just like swatting my leg. Okay, let's move on to the next question. That's a great question there. Mailbag, great podcast from enthused informed hosts that have the analytics to back up their takes. All right, cool. Excited to see the Finley tattoo after so many months of talking about it. That's actually somebody. We snuck a tattoo artist into Wilson's room, just jab him slowly with needles. Thanks to the Bud Light Citrus Pack Tip. Amazing stuff there. I have two questions. One, do you see the NFL possibly looking into a minor league, potentially extending an olive branch to XFL for NFL teams to have a farm team to pick from that could be in addition to replacing a practice squad? Two, what are the chances that the entire NFC West makes the playoff this year? Is that a bet Brinson would lay some hard-earned cash on? Breach or Wilson, do you have a take on question one?
So my thing is this. I think we've sort of talked about this before, but the minor leagues is basically the SEC, the Pac, whatever the new conference is going to be with the other teams remaining. So it's not like they don't have a way to see how good these guys are, whereas in the Major League Baseball and even the NBA, they have these sort of feeder systems, although college, I guess, serves in some regard as a feeder system. And I think the other thing is, like, if it ain't making money, the NFL ain't going to do it. Like, the owners ain't going to be down with that. And
they don't throw olive branches.
Well, that's the key. There's no reason for them to fund it when you have college football feeding them for free. So I would be shocked if the NFL even tried to buy another league. You know, like if XFL was successful, I don't even think the NFL would try and buy it because it's not even a feeder system. It's where players who are already professional go when they're not good enough for the NFL usually. And, you know, five or six of them end up back in the NFL, but it's not a big enough number for the NFL to think about buying the league. So I would highly doubt this ever happens.
I would tend to agree with that. Sorry.
What's the other question?
The other question is, would I bet the entire NFC West to make the playoffs this year? So I looked it up.
Yeah, what are the odds for all these teams?
Well, so if you take the Cardinals are +130, and then the Rams and the 49ers are like -190, and the Seahawks are -130 to make the playoffs. If you do a parlay with all those teams, it's a little under 9.5 to 1. $100 would make you $940 and some change.
I don't think I would make that bet.
No. I think I would need 20-1 odds to do it, because if the Seahawks, because remember, those are individual odds for each one. If the Seahawks are, if any of these teams make the playoffs, like if the Seahawks make the playoffs, it reduces the Cardinals number where it would be bigger because there's one less playoff spot. And so, you know, there's only one way all four can make it. You know what I mean? Like there's not going to be extra spots. It involves, so the competition is the Saints, the Vikings, and Yeah, I guess the Washington Cowboys and Eagles, if you want, or Giants.
Yeah.
So I don't. I think it would be a bold prediction. I don't think I would make that bet.
Did you see who sent the who wrote the note, which is hilarious?
Oh yeah. The whoever sent the notes. Cowboys have a path to 9 wins. Cowboys have a path to 9 wins.
Fantastic. What about can you?
I am against this. I wouldn't bet on it. I don't think the Cardinals are
right. I agree with that. What's the 3-team parlay out of the NFC West? Can you do that?
So you can't actually parlay it on the site that I was looking at it.
Because three teams, I feel like it might be like 4-1, 3-1.
So you want no Cardinals?
Yeah.
All right, let me look at this. NFL season futures.
Because I feel like
regular season, I'm missing.
There's a good chance that those three teams make it.
NFL season wins. Let's see. All right. So no Cardinals. So we're going to go Seahawks. Oh, crap, that's not what I want. I want player props. I want playoff props. So we got Seahawks -130, 49ers -185, Rams -190. Hold on a second. I'm going to do a parlay calculator.
My God.
Well, I can't parlay it on the site. So -190, -185, and -130, right? Just talk for a second while I
-190
$100 would pay $312.
Oh, I said between 3 and 4, I think, right?
But I think your odds would need to be higher again because remember you're taking away spots for the Rams are -190 to make the playoffs, but once the 49ers make the playoffs, the Rams odds actually get worse, and the Seahawks vice versa. So I think it would need to be like 7-1 to have those three make it.
Oh, I actually like that a lot more than 9-1.
Maybe 5-1. Maybe 5-1.
Yeah, or you just wait until like week 4, the Seahawks play the 49ers. The loser's odds is going to go down because they lost. And then you could parlay it. Yeah, I don't think the odds aren't good enough to do it right now. Yeah,
probably not taking it is what I'm saying.
But I do think those three teams will make the playoffs.
I tend to agree with that as well.
All right.
Okay, let's dunk on me one more time, I suppose. if you have a 40, you want to do, well, it's 2 40 time questions. I guess we'll get to those. We've got 50 minutes. Somebody left a Winston-Salem podcast review. Go to the Diamondback, best spot in Winston-Salem. Somebody said that we'll address the Winston-Salem question, but I'm just saying go to the Diamondback if you just moved to Winston-Salem. Delicious food. Also, Hero House, not open on Sundays, but my goodness, their subs are incredible. And I'm trying to think, there's another good restaurant that I would go to, but I'll figure it out later. The Meridian's very good.
Sir, too. This is not a Wendy's.
40 times. If Will Brinson ran a sub-5 second 40-yard dash at any age, I would get a pick six tattoo. He said it was recorded, hand time, ? Yes. So it should be around somewhere. I would think he would frame it. It was a good athlete. I was a good athlete. I played for semi-pro football in Portland, Oregon, and we had two players who could break 5 seconds.
Thank you.
They're both former Division I players.
Thank you.
There is no way in God's green earth Brinson did it. I doubt he can even do it on a bicycle. You probably entertaining and informative work. Devo 3455.
Oh! Oh! What a big... I mean, that's the reality. Thank you, Devo.
There's more.
Oh, there's.
I'll beat your 40 holding a 40. Everyday listener, this is Markswell Silverhammer. Everyday listener, part-time heckler. Love you guys and the natural banter that erupts between Debo's well-thought-out show sheet. As far as Brinson running a sub-5 second 40, maybe his agent is holding the stopwatch, maybe. But I challenge you to a duel. I will run a 40 holding a 40-ounce gear, and you, Will, can run unencumbered. Who wins?
Oh, I don't know Markswell Silverhammer, what he looks like. I don't know if he has both his legs. I am taking Markswell Silverhammer.
All my money's on Markswell.
Right.
Yeah, I would require some training, even with the 40 situation.
I love the fact that he will beat you with a 40 in his hand. He's not even hesitating.
Respectful.
We forgot to ask John about that. He would have loved that.
Oh, we should have brought up the 40. That is. Yeah. Wait, Brinson, what'd you say you ran it in?
4.96.
Uh-huh.
So it's just barely sub-5.
Yes, that's why it was surprising. I didn't run like a 4.7.
How old were you?
It was probably 2000.
It does not matter, Breach.
14?
Pick an age.
2014.
Yes, thank you.
What do you think you would run if you went out right now?
Right six, now?
Probably 6'2".
7'5".
There's no way he ran a 4.96. I don't want to go over this again.
These Rich Eisen ran a 5.98 in 2020.
In a suit, and he's 10 years older than me.
He's trained for it.
So you think you could get to 5.5?
If I had time to train, yes.
Do you think this guy was holding a 40, probably drinking the 40 during the race, could beat you?
Yes.
No, I will take the guy who's holding the 40, I think.
You're not running a 5.5 40. Stop it.
I didn't say I would run a 5.5 40. I just think I beat a guy holding a 40.
Preach just asked you if you could run a 5.5. You said if I trained.
Oh, I need a while to train.
I need a while.
Look, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not like, I love that this is what gets beat on, but what was Breach's marathon time?
Well, we beat on him pretty good for that.
3.5 hours. That is the equivalent of running like a 6-second 40.
It's an equivalent of a 4.96 40 in your mid 30s. Get out of here.
No, he claimed
I was 21. You're saying training. Mid-30s.
Said he showed up with zero training and ran a marathon in 3.5 hours. That's way harder and way less likely.
6 weeks of training.
Oh, that's an
interesting. Usually people train for like 3 months. I had 6 weeks. Or people train for like 6 months.
Yeah. Okay. Both you guys are liars.
For many first-time half marathon runners, simply finishing the race is a good result. For others, beating the 2-hour mark of a half marathon is their idea of a good marathon time. Come on.
I was 20 years old and in good shape.
You just said you were 21. Which was it?
20.
It's a liar.
All right, let's move on. This is I can't do
Brenton, this. Brenton, should that be the poll on your tweet? What is more likely, Breach running a 3.5 hour marathon or me running a sub 5 second 40 yard dash? Or don't even put sub 5 second. Put 4.96.
Average marathon time by gender. Men's average marathon time. What do you think a men's average marathon time is? I'm looking at marathonhandbook.com.
Probably like four hours and five and a half.
4 hours and 10 minutes. And Breach claims he ran a marathon in 3.5 after pounding Bud Light all night in Cincinnati and just rolling out there, like stretching for a couple of minutes. That is the crime that you're focusing on my 40 time, which is videotaped and cataloged at CBS Sports with current colleagues of ours, instead of worrying about this lie of a marathon that Breach had.
Two lies don't make a right. I should make
Got you there. But he also got me.
All right, let's go. You guys are both on crack. Let's go.
Okay.
Both are as equal. Both are equally unlikely.
Well, you know what's funny? Because Rich Eisen ran 40s. You know who he raised money for when he runs those 40s?
St. Jude's.
There's your segue, Brenton.
Oh, that is a great segue. You're right. So we're going to bring on a good call. I was sort of checking out. Well, we're bringing on Rob Thomas, big time podcast listener, big time charity fan who donated to St. Jude's to get a podcast appearance and actually to drag Sean onto here. So thanks for thanks Rob for doing what we probably should have done weeks or months ago, which is check in on Sean to see how he's doing, and appreciate your generosity and for joining us tonight.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
I do want to point out that Rob is a Bengals fan, and we talked to him earlier. He has since turned his Bengals hat around because he is ashamed of what John Breach fully embraces every day of his life.
But also, Bengals fans are very generous because we have nothing else going on in our lives. We cheer for a team that loses all the time. So you just want just this little taste of what fun is like. And so that's what you do. Just you jump on the podcast.
Yeah, well, also, you know, it's a mailbag podcast, so if you have an actual mailbag question that you wanted to ask in person, you could potentially do that, I suppose.
Oh, no, I do. So, running back question. So, LT is the last running back, Hall of Fame. 2011 is the last time he played. So, from 2011 on, who played in 2011 until now, so 10 years, who's the next Hall of Fame running back?
Adrian Peterson?
Well, he was drafted in 07.
Who played from 2000? Oh, you're saying since LT retired? Okay, so who got in 2011?
Who's the next Hall of Fame running back to get in?
Yeah, so they had to have been playing or retired after 2011.
Okay, I got you. Let me look at this. That's
definitely Adrian Peterson. He's going to get in.
Yeah.
You know what? If Le'Veon Bell didn't go crazy, he felt like he was on that track, but clearly that track has gone off the rails. I mean, we talk about Antonio Brown as a wide receiver, and I think that certainly has more traction. But Le'Veon Bell is the first name to come to mind after, like, in terms of the the most recent guys.
But so how much longer does Derrick Henry got to do what he's been doing?
Like, I don't – like right now, I don't think he's –
All right, Derrick Henry has less rushing yards than Lamar Miller, which is like crazy to think about.
Is that true? Are you looking at the right
– I'm on the all-time leaderboard.
But if Derrick Henry runs for 2,000 yards this year, which 17 games, so it's completely possible that he does it again, that will vault him up. He's at number 100 exactly. Rushing for 2,000 yards will vault him up to number 54. So it's one big season vaults him up almost in the top 50. Two big seasons vaults him up almost into the top 30. And that's just two more years. So I feel like if Derrick Henry plays four or five more years where he's averaging over 1,500 yards a year, then he gets in.
I think that that is a good call. I mean, you have to go pretty far. It is pretty crazy. So like we consider Dalvin Cook a really good running back, right? Like an incredible running back. I mean, he has less rushing yards than Bilal Powell. Like that's crazy. You know, he has less rushing yards than Giovanni Bernard and Isaiah Crowell. It's so hard. I do think that Derrick Henry or Christian McCaffrey stand a chance because you have to have these transcendent seasons, you know, sort of like a Terrell Davis, and some of these guys will need. Derrick Henry has epic postseason moments too. That helps him in a big way. We agree that Peterson is easily going to get in, but God, I mean, they're, you know, Todd Gurley was on the track and just Zeke Elliott.
Well, I was going to say, you know, what's funny is Zeke Elliott is somebody everybody forgets about because he's been kind of crapped on the past 2 years because of all his fumbles, but he, you know, him and Derrick Henry drafted in the same year and he's got 500 more career rushing yards than
Zeke's at 77th overall. If he had a, so if he has a, let's say Zeke has a 1500 yard season, God, this only moves up to like Antoine Smith and Kurt Warner with a C territory.
What about Marshawn Lynch? Is he
78. That would move up to 78. I don't think
Peacequake.
Does Peacequake get in?
Rob, would you put Marshawn Lynch in the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
He's got some, I mean, the Beastquake, he's got the, they won a Super Bowl. That should they have, okay.
I think Adrian Peterson. Did you guys say Frank Gore?
Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson will get in, I think. And then after that, your next candidate's like LeSean McCoy and Beast Mode.
So guys that played from 2000 to 2011, there's like seven running backs, Thurman Thomas, LT, those guys. Do you think in this 10-year period from 11 to 2021, seven running backs get in the Hall of Fame?
No chance.
I don't know who's left on the list that hasn't gotten in.
Well, and because the NFL is going to more of a running back by committee, so it's not easy to put up huge numbers like, you know, the Thurman Thomases, the Emmett Smiths, when they were the bell cow and they were getting the ball, you know, three downs, they were getting the ball all the time. So that just, you know, like maybe Nick Chubb or someone playing now like that who's getting the ball all the time for a good team. But, yeah, it's going to be hard to get that many running backs. It's crazy. We might not see after Adrian Peterson – running back's going to be a little dicey.
I think Derrick Henry's a good call.
Yep.
But he's going to have three or more seasons of – so if he does four seasons of 1,500, that's 6,000. That gets him in.
But if you're a running back, you're just getting beat up all the time. So
that's 11,860, which would put him in fact, that would put him right in between Thurman Thomas, who is the cutoff line between Thurman Thomas and Fred Taylor. So that's a good call, Breach. That's exactly what Derrick Henry needs. If he does that, he will probably get in because two epic 2,000 yard season and just these moments where he's just like obliterating people on these runs.
So Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson, Derrick Henry, and Najee Harris. Okay, we can all agree.
Joe Mixon.
Yeah, Joe Mixon.
Corey Dillon.
It is crazy that Cam Newton's 12th, Russell Wilson 17th, and Lamar. Where's Lamar? I just saw his name. He's 36 among active rushers right now.
Of the seven people who have rushed for 2,000 yards in a season, which is what Derrick Henry did last year, four of them are in the Hall of Fame. Two of them.
Five is Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson, Derrick Henry.
Jamal Lewis is
Jamal
not in the
Lewis
Hall of Fame.
Is the guy who is not in. Oh, Chris Johnson. So there's eight. Yeah. So four out of eight are in, and then Chris Johnson, Jamal Lewis are the two that won't make it.
Well, and Jamal Lewis did finish with 10,607 rushing yards, but also went to prison, which you're not supposed to count, but they do anyway. And then Chris Johnson didn't even crack 10,000 yards. You know, he's right there with Sean Alexander as a guy who, you know, you could say it's close, but just didn't really do it. All right. Rob, Ryan's going to kill me because he's got to pee if we don't get out of here. Anything you want to, whether you want to plug the Pick Six podcast page on Twitter, or you have a favorite moment from the show you want to talk about, or you know, anything,
or your favorite Bengals moment ever.
Yeah, you can at Pick Six Pack on Twitter.
Is the
Pick Six the Twitter page fan group. Favorite episode of the show is definitely the Wilson and Brinson dunking on Sean about the Mahomes and the Tom Brady AFC championship game. Favorite Bengals moment was that almost playoff, which is also the worst moment. So the ups and downs of that almost
simultaneously playoff. The best moment and the worst moment.
Best and worst moment. Okay. No way they could have lost. No way.
And it's the Steelers Bengals game, right? The 2015 playoff game.
That's correct.
Yeah. That was an all time. That was a lot of page views because that there was just so much fallout from that. Like all those insane moments that happened in that game. And that it happened to the Bengals. Obviously, Rob, we don't like that it happened to you, but
it happened. It happened to Breach.
That's actually the day I stopped being friends with Wilson. So we're now going on, 6 years, I think, of not being friends. Looking at the calendar,
6 years of working, 6 years of working together and hating someone. Now you know how it's like for everyone who works with me.
No. So here's the thing. Like I was riding a ton back then and Breach was indisposed. Rob heard the story of how Breach was crying in the hotel room while this game unfolded. I'm looking at headlines from back then, January 11th, 2016. Here's the headline that Wilson put out there. Joey Porter wasn't the only coach on the field during Steelers Bengals. So there must have been some
blaming other people. That's classic, right? Wilson.
That is classic.
Oh man. I got some hate there. Joey Porter and the Bengals have hated each other for 10 years. January 10th, 2017. Well, I pulled a Breach and just pumped out a bunch of nonsense content.
Was it 2000? What, 2010?
2016, but they hate each other for 10 years.
Oh, gotcha. I was trying to see what I had written about that, but I got nothing. I can't find anything. All right. We got an hour under the belt for a little Saturday mailbag. Good for the people who like to mow the lawns, as Rob likes to listen to on this Saturday podcast. Rob, thank you again for your generosity.
Yeah, shout out to Rob. Absolutely. Yeah,
and for more importantly, getting us in touch with Sean, who we hadn't talked to in several months. We probably would have gone week two without actually speaking to Sean and checking in on him, even though he was our podcast cohort for several years.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Let me do this.
Breach, were you trying to say something, or are you freezing?
No, I was just going to say thanks to Rob. I'm glad that a Bengals fan came up here. It makes me feel a lot better about life that you're not a Steelers fan and not a Panthers fan. And it was awesome to have you on here, man.
Bengals fans showed out in a big way for the St. Jude thing.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, that's right.
And by the way, I like Rob as a Bengals fan better than like Breach. So that was a winner.
By far.
Oh, he missed! He missed! Oh, and he may have pulled a hamstring or a muscle, and there is complete elation.
It never gets old.
That's Rob, one of the games that the Bengals should have won.
Goodness gracious. Too many dunks. Too many times. Rob, thanks again, buddy. It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.